Let's all be very serious now.
Hey, good morning.
Let's see. Jim, why don't you lead us in a word of prayer, really? So foolish was I. That's where we're going to start next. You know, I am just so happy that I relinquished my will to the will of God. I'm waiting for Jim to open in prayer still. You can't stop giggling. They wear out even if you don't use them.
Okay, the only option is to take hers and put it in here, and then y'all have to speak up.
Okay. We don't have any more. We know what the church needs for Christmas. Okay. We do, Lord.
Things in our life that need to perish. Mm-hmm. And that's good. The old man, he needs to perish. He needs to fade out. He needs to be exposed for what he really is and for who you really are. And then, Lord, there's areas of our life, too, that you've been talking about that we've been perishing in, that you desire to help us, Lord. You desire to heal us. Father, it's not your will that any should perish. Father, I pray this morning that you would touch those areas physically in our bodies that have been perishing. And I don't believe it's your will, Father, for us to perish, but to have this life, this Zoe life, Father. So, Father, I pray, God, that this morning in the congregation back here in the Sunday school, as your word goes forth, I pray that it will touch those areas of our soul and our body and our minds. In some areas where we need to perish, let it perish. But in some of those areas that are perishing, let it bring life.
Amen.
Even in the area of joy, Father, bring more joy to your people. Sometimes I get so serious I have a hard time laughing about anything. The world's in decay. With the natural eye, as we look, everything seems to be perishing, Father. But we know in Christ that you bring forth all this new life, Father. And that's what we've got to focus on. And that's where the joy is, and that's where the health is, and that's where the Zoe life is. So, Father, let us focus on you and your word here this morning, and may we lift you up and glorify you. And again, Father, I thank you, Lord, that it's not your will that any area of our life should perish, but that we have this life. And so we receive it this morning, Father, for your glory and for our good. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Well, I think we're going to start right around verse 22 this morning. So foolish was I and ignorant. I was as a beast before thee. Would you read that, Brenda, in the Amplified?
Just 22?
Just 22. In Job, let's see, where is Job? Nope, that's from last week. Job, chapter 2. See, I'm kind of discombobulated this morning. That's why I had to give my will over to the Lord. Say, Lord, you're going to have your way in this Sunday school this morning. Because Job chapter 2, verse 10. But he said unto her, this is Job speaking to his wife, who constantly is telling him, where she just had said to him, dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die. But he said unto her, thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. So this is in regard to the word foolish. How foolish was I and ignorant? Thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? And in all of this, did Job not sin with his lips? So, I mean, and there... Of course, jump right in there.
Or charge God foolishly, doesn't it say that also?
Let's see.
After that it says, and all this Job did not sin with his lips, but then it goes on and talks about Job's three friends.
And he says it at the end of them. Yeah.
And that's what it says, he told her, you're talking like an empty-headed fool. We take the good days from God, why not also the bad days?
Yeah, yeah. In Job chapter 5, verse 2, remember at the very beginning of this, when he was still, before he had came into the sanctuary of God, he was saying, I envied the wicked, you know, and it said, in Job chapter 5, verse 2, it says, for wrath killeth the foolish man, and envy slays the silly one. So, the next verse says, nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast holden me by my right hand. That word continually means constantly. We are constantly with him. He is constantly with us. He in us and we in him. And thou hast holden me by my right hand. I was thinking of the Holdens at that time.
Where does it say that we are constantly with him?
Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Psalm 73:23. Yeah. Do you have a different? Okay. You've holden me by my right hand. So that kind of took me into the right hand of God, the hand of blessing. And in Isaiah 45. Did I? Oh, here it is. I didn't print that. I just read it. He talks about Cyrus. That's where he's talking about Cyrus again. And there's a lot in here. I'm just going to read like down to verse 7. It's really, really good. You know, Cyrus is a type of Adam, which is a type of our soulish nature. Thus saith the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have holden. So Adam was Adam, Cyrus was Cyrus, and still God is holding his right hand. To subdue nations before him, I will loose the loins of kings, to open before him the two-leaved gates, and the gates shall not be shut. I will go before thee, and I will make the crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the gates of brass and cut in sunder the bars of iron. And I will give thee the treasures of darkness, the hidden riches of secret places, that thou mayest knowest that I, the Lord, which call thee by name, am the God of Israel. For Jacob's, my servant's sake. Now Jacob was his servant. And then he says, in Israel, mine elect. So that is the two different natures there. I have even called thee by thy name. I have surnamed thee, though thou hast not known me. I am the Lord. There is none else. There is no God beside me. I girdeth thee, though thou hast not known me. That they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west, which is the setting, that there is none beside me. I am the Lord, and there is none else. I form the light, and I create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. So even though we go in and out, even though we're not perfect, even though we have not completely, fully stepped into the mature Christ that we are going to be, he still is holding us by our right hand. Genesis 48 says, verse 13. Let's just take a peek at that and see why I wrote it down. Genesis 48. Thinking it might have 48, 13 to 18. Oh, the right hand. That's just the story of where Joseph took Ephraim and Manasseh and placed the hand on Joseph, is it? Yeah. And Joseph blessed the secondborn instead of the firstborn. The blessing of the secondborn is the blessing of the right hand, and that's Christ. And it's Christ in a many-membered body. Go ahead. Oh. I see you thinking.
I was going to go back to that two-leaved gates. Mm-hmm. One time the Lord dealt with me about the two-leaved gates, and He brought it to me in the relationship of lift up your head, you gates, you everlasting doors, and who'll come in, the King of Glory. And I believe he showed me that the two-leaved gates were these two leaves right here, mm-hmm. his lips. Mm-hmm. And when he opens those two-leaved gates and we begin to praise him, we enter into a realm and into a place where things begin to change. Things begin to change in our lives. They change in other people's lives. And we enter into his presence, you know. And, I think that when we realize that these are the gates, you know, because the things that you speak with your mouth, I like what the brother was saying last week about your conversation being seasoned with salt, you know, and grace, you know, so on and so forth. But those two-leaved gates, they're right there on your head. And when we learn to open up those two-leaf gates and let the praise roll forth, then we'll find that we're walking in a different realm, you know.
I think creation is in those,
yeah,
in those, in the speaking forth as well.
Yeah.
Anybody else?
Can I read one more scripture?
Sure.
I just feel like I need to read this. This is Isaiah 45, starting with verse 11.
Oh.
For thus saith the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, his Maker, ask me of things to come concerning my sons, and concerning the work of my hands, command you me. I have made the earth and created man upon it, and I, even my hands, have stretched out the heavens, and all the host have I commanded. And I have raised him up in righteousness, and I will direct all his ways, and he shall build my cities, and he shall let go my captives, and not for a price nor reward, saith the Lord of hosts. You know, but you could go ahead and read the rest of it if you want to, but you know.
Is that also to Cyrus?
That's to Cyrus, but it's also to us,
mm-hmm,
because he's talking about man. He's not just talking about,
mm-hmm,
just Cyrus there.
Mm-hmm.
And when we realize that when he's called man to restore, you know, the ministry that Jesus had, we have that same ministry, but we have it as a many-membered body, you know. Initially, when he talks about, you know, to restore things, Jesus was the new creation man. So we have to realize that that new creation man is us,
mm-hmm,
and that, you know, and when you read that about the right and the left hand, when Jacob, who was blind, and he brought his two sons before Jacob, and it says back there, and that's brought them before Jacob, it says, but Israel beheld them.
Mm-hmm.
See, and Jacob and Israel was the same one. Except Israel means he shall rule as God. So it was God beholding him. And when he beheld him, he blessed, gave the younger son the right-hand blessing. He gave Ephraim and Manasseh. Manasseh's name meant causing to forget. Ephraim's name meant double portion, double blessing. And he blessed the young one first, and he made the sign of the cross. But if you bring that up into our day today and read what it says in Romans, the 8th chapter, it tells you that Jesus was the firstborn among many brethren. So that, what's that make us be? All of us. If he was the firstborn, what's that make us be?
Many
the
brethren.
Secondborn. And what does that mean we're going to get? The double portion. The double portion. And that's why he said, these works that I do shall you do in greater works than these. And we need to start believing that we're going to get the double portion, and start proclaiming that we're going to get the double portion. And I believe if you believe it, you'll receive it. If you don't, you won't. I mean, that's sort of poetic, but that's the truth. You know, we have to start believing that we're going to get the double portion. And when we believe it, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. We'll begin to receive it also.
You know, Oscar, along that same vein, I was just looking at John chapter 3, verse 11, and if we're talking about the secondborn son,
right,
it said, for God did not send the son into the world in order to judge or to reject or condemn it, but that the world might find salvation and be made safe and sound through him.
Yeah.
So it's talking about Jesus, obviously, but the second born is for God to not send his son to the world to judge it. He's also talking about that second born son. You want to take it a step further?
Mm-hmm. I'll tell you, it's kind of interesting when you realize in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, when it talks about the first man or the first Adam was of the earthly. He was a soulish man. He was an earthy man.
Mm-hmm.
The last Adam was the Lord from heaven. So what, even the principle of firstborn and secondborn son is there. Its firstborn was Adam. Christ came after him. He was the completion of what God said in Genesis of let us make man in our own image, our own likeness. And he was the secondborn son in that sense. But then when he was the firstborn among many brethren, he became the firstborn son again. And then we became the secondborn son. And I mean, it's kind of neat how God puts things in order when you really kind of see it and understand it. But, you know, that firstborn son, we have to forget about him. And that's why Manasseh's name was causing to forget. That firstborn son, we forget those things which are behind. We press towards what? The mark of the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. So we have to begin to forget the former man and forget the things of the past. And boy, that's hard to do. I mean, I'm honest, it's hard to do because we have a hard time doing that. You know, and you know, but when we forget those things that are behind us and press towards that mark, then we'll find that we enter into a greater realm. Sorry, I didn't mean to say so much. But done.
Yeah, I like to just bring up something and then just have everybody, you know, chat around about it. Go ahead. I can see that you're thinking of something. No?
No, I mean, I just, you know, I mean, it's all about the old man, the new man. Yeah. I mean, seriously, I mean,
it is.
Your everyday walk. I mean, there was a set of circumstances this week, I mean, where I was not operating in the new man. I was operating completely in the old man, and you could see it on my face.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I mean, you could tell that I was not operating in the new man. And I mean, it's really, 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 really neat what happened. This lady that works for me, she was found in a corn crib at 2 years old, year and a half, and was three sisters and a brother were basically taken to an orphanage up in, I don't know if it's Xenia or somewhere up there, there's a big orphanage. It's been there since after the Civil War. And you know, God's definitely moving on her. She went to church all the time in the orphanage and all that, but she's never, you know, made a commitment to the Lord. But she is, and it probably will be soon. But anyway, that's his job, not mine. But she bought me for Christmas a devotional book. And she hasn't been inside the church probably for 30 some years. And but God, you know, God's definitely dealing with her. So I mean, I'm always aware that I've got to be that new man and show her, you know, and it can't be in my strength, it has to be in his strength. So anyway, Thursday, it was like the toughest week, you know, that you could ever imagine, and to the point where, you know, you just can't believe it could get any worse, but it always can. But anyway, that morning, she gave me that book. Well, I went to that was December 10th, I went to that gate. Oh my gosh, I mean, God just read our mail. I mean, it was all about, I'm in control, not you. I mean, it was everything you had to hear in order to believe that you were just in the wrong all week. And I mean, I was praying, I was spending time with the Lord, all this holy stuff, you know. And it was all fake, I guess. I don't know. But all I know is the Spirit of God hit that office at 9:30 that morning with this devotional, and we both started weeping. I mean, it was powerful. And I mean, Thursday was the absolute best day that I have had and she has had in months. God will break those yokes if you allow him to break those yokes. And that's all that is. That's just bondage, that he needs to break those yokes so that we can have the freedom to really operate in that new man and be able to just trust in him completely and totally, surrender. You saw me on Wednesday.
Oh, yeah. You were a mess.
Oh, I was. I really was. So, you know, but the bottom line is, from that moment on, that whole day, it was like everything lifted. It was just joyful, and it was just a joy to be at work.
A joy to see it.
Huh?
To see it.
Yeah, but the thing of it is, what a powerful testimony for this lady.
And she's the one that produced the devotional.
God produced it, but yeah, she's the one that went out and was obedient to go buy it. It's called Jesus Calls. It's a great, really, I was really impressed with the depth that's in this. But anyway, it was just like everything changed. And then I got a phone call that evening that just changed the whole course of the next whatevers. I mean, the things that were troubling us, a phone call came from the owner, and it was like, you know, take a deep breath, everything, you know, whatever. And then he basically, and he's not a godly man, he basically opened the door to where this whole thing is going away. Now, God doesn't always do it that way, but he did it this way, this time, you know. But it was just miraculous. It was just miraculous.
You know what I hear in what you're saying is, let this mind be in you. Because all you did was observe it.
Mm-hmm.
You became aware. Just through the reading of those words. Is it Jesus Calling?
So that's the name of the book. It's a lady. Yeah. I've never heard of her before.
I read that every morning.
I'll be reading it every morning as soon as I walk in that office. So.
Mm-hmm. I read it every morning.
You've heard of it?
Read it every morning.
That same book?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Is that the book that's by that Sarah?
Sarah Young, I think.
Yeah, she's really good.
Wow. I've never heard of her before.
She's really good.
It is.
Because what she does in her books is she tells you like she's talking to God and like God's talking to her.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, it's powerful. It's a powerful book.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It is.
Read December 10th. After, you know, now that you have it, read December 10th.
Well, just an example. You guys are trying to control this work situation on a human level and it wasn't working out. That's what was going on.
Right.
And then you just came... You had had enough, and that was it. You didn't care. You were done, and then it all got rectified.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what God waiting this to give up.
I think when we finally realize that we can do nothing ourselves, that it's God that has to do it, period. And then when we finally give up and say,
that's true.
There it is. God, I cannot do it. I don't know how to fix it. But you do.
Mm-hmm.
I just relinquish it all to you.
Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes you just have to say, I don't want to fix it.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've been where you're at for about 3 weeks.
You know.
I know.
Yeah.
And you can sit there. There's times you can read the Bible until you're blue in the face. You can pray until you're blue in the face. And until God brings the breakthrough, that anointing breakthrough, that you know the anointing of God is behind it. He allowed you to do all that so that he could come in. You know, it's like the thing when the enemy, when the enemy comes in.
Like a flood.
But it's really God coming in like a flood. That's what happened here. God came in like a flood. It wasn't yet. God will raise up a standard.
Right.
Okay. And he raised up a standard and basically said, get out of that stinking thinking and get into the right thinking, you know.
Mm-hmm. And I started reading this book called The Emmaus Code. And what it does, it shows how Jesus is in every single book of the Bible.
Yeah.
The whole entire Bible points
no doubt
to Jesus.
Right.
And it shows like what you're saying, how he always, it's just like I never really understood about Israel, how he, those were his chosen people. They weren't his chosen people to be chosen people. They were his chosen people to show the rest of the world
the example
that he could take care of the rest of the world.
Mm-hmm.
He could take care of the Gentiles and that he could, even though they were up and they were down,
absolutely,
they were forgiven and they were sin and they were up, he still loved them.
Mm-hmm.
And he was still there for them. And this book, I've been reading it, it's terrific. It it shows how the whole thing, the whole Bible is hooked together. I never really understood it like that. It refers back to the old and the new, and like the one where it says, I am that I am. That's in the Old Testament too. That's in the New Testament.
Sure.
God said, I am that I am. Jesus said, I am that I am. So it's like they're both. It's just, I think it's just
that what you said about raising up a standard, you know, I was thinking about that song that we sing, I am my beloved and he is mine, his banner over me. And that's what standard is. It shows in Israel, when they marched forward, they all carried they had a standard that showed the insignia of each tribe as it went forth. That's how they all knew how to line up and all that kind of stuff, because of the standard that was set up there. And, you know, I was just thinking about that song, I am my beloved and he is mine, his banner over me is love. That's the standard there. That's the standard. His love, you know.
Yes.
And, you know, he poured that love out on Calvary when he died on the cross for us, you know.
Yes.
And, you know, we've got a great standard, but a lot of times we forget about the love and we start thinking about all the problems and all the aggravation and all the other things that go on, you know. And, you know, the neat thing about it is a lot of times we know the answers, but it's not so easy to always step into them, you know.
Exactly.
That's the problem,
that
you know.
Is it.
Yeah.
I have a devotional that said, abandoning the self, life. And it was talking about the story of Jonah.
Uh-huh.
And it was talking about, you know, how you have this autonomy and the freedom, but you're forgetting that Christ, because we're stuck in this relationship of habits and stuff like that, and we don't know how to break that freedom of that autonomy. And it was just kind of interesting. You've got to remain
well, it's like it says in James, one time the Lord dealt with me about the perfect law of liberty, and you know, the perfect law of liberty in Christ, what I felt like the Lord showed me was submission.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to submit to him in all things, and that goes almost contrary in the natural to liberty. You don't submit to get liberty. Submit means you're underneath something. But God's ways are not our ways. They're so far above our ways. And as we learn to submit to him in all things, then his liberty, he pours his liberty into us, and his authority and his power and everything else, you know.
It's when you're a bondservant, you
choose
to submit to the master.
Right.
You know, that's a conscious decision that you make to submit to the master.
Yeah.
That's where there's total freedom, because
right.
He takes care of all your needs.
Right, right. Well, see, even in the Old Testament, when Jubilee came around, if the servant loved his master, because everybody was set free in Jubilee,
mm-hmm.
and we're going to enter into the real Jubilee.
Hallelujah.
As we go along.
Yes.
That's coming.
Yes.
That's coming, folks.
Hallelujah.
The real Jubilee. He's already paid the price for that.
Mm-hmm.
We just don't believe it enough to see it manifest itself completely. But on the year of Jubilee, every bond servant was set free. Everything that you had lost, you regained, you know. And, you know, if you had sold off your property, your family heritage or whatever, they had to give it back to you in the year of Jubilee. You could get it back for free. And, you know, when you realize that he's, and the servant, if he wanted to stay with his master, he would go to the gates of the city and he would proclaim that he loved his master and wanted to stay there, and the master would bore a hole in his ear. And that tells me that what he really was signifying is that I'm going to hear your voice and your voice only, you know. And you know, when we get to that point where we only hear and do what we hear the Father say, and boy, there's going to be such a jubilee going on, it's going to be unreal. Mm-hmm. Such a power and an authority going on, it's going to be unreal. Unreal in what the natural is. It'll be real in what God does, you know.
Praise God.
I heard Brother Hiles say that, just, you know, as we start operating in the truth,
mm-hmm.
you know, that not the mistaken identity, but the real identity.
Right.
And, you know, he said, you know, and then people say, well, you don't know how I cut someone off in traffic on the way to church. And, well, that's the lie.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The real person is who Christ made you to be. The lie is that person that cut someone off in anger on the on the highway, you know. And it's just, it's interesting how you see that, and you see that the lie is really what we've been living most of our lives.
And we've somehow decided to believe that that's who we are, and we aren't.
No.
That's where all the low self-esteem and
every
all the living in guilt and all of the,
every man's a liar. God is the only one that's true.
Yeah.
When we live that godly life, that, you know, then we see the whole perspective of things, you know, and see the whole picture, the big picture.
I was just thinking, after Adam had sinned, God put cherubim with flaming swords to keep him from going back into the garden. And some people say that was, they tell that in a different way. But I think it was to keep him from going back in. And if you look up the word cherubim, you'll find out that it really has the meaning of imaginary figure. And what he did was, I believe he let man's imagination be the sword that would keep him out. And until we quit believing what our old natural mind imagines and start believing what God's word declares, then we'll never enter back into that relationship that we had originally, or even greater relationship, because I believe it's going to be a greater relationship, because that first man was of the earth, earthy. He was a soulish man. That last man is going to be the Lord from heaven.
Amen.
And that's why he's going to be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And, you know, he's elevating us into a realm that even Adam never experienced, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, a lot of people don't see it that way, but I do. I believe it's he wants to enter us into a realm that we've never experienced. Something way beyond, you know.
Wow. Should we go on a little further?
Yeah.
The next verse is 24. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. In John 16, verse 13, we'll start at 12. He says, I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. However, or howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. God will guide us in, you know, with his counsel, and afterwards receive us into glory. Now, didn't he say, I go away and I'll come again, I'll take you to where I am, so that where I am, you will be also?
Mm-hmm.
We will forever be with the Lord. I don't know if it'll be here or there. I don't, you know, there's a lot of things that go on about that too. Or if he's coming, or we're going up, or he's coming down, or, you know, we're going to be with him. And all because of what Christ did for us, not for what we've done. Just exactly like they were saying.
I say something else?
Sure.
In our day and age, what is the thing that's happened most in our day and age that, as far as people are concerned, everybody's coming out, right?
Oh, yeah.
They're coming out?
Yeah.
That's where he's going to come from. He's going to come out from the inside. He's going to come to the surface. And his presence is going to be, he's going to rise in his temple with healing in his wings, and he's going to rise in such a way that people are going to see him for what he really is, a many-membered body and you know, many, many sons standing in glory is what it's going to be. And when I say sons, I'm not eliminating women,
mm-hmm.
but I'm saying that with that authority of a son, you know, that because in Christ there's neither male nor female, Scripture said. But he's going to suddenly come to his temple, and he's already in there. But a lot of times we don't believe he's in there. We go in and out, like it says in Revelations. And to him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, he shall go no more out. And I'll write upon him the name of my God, the character, the nature, the authority of my God. And that's what he's going to do. And the name of the city of my God, and the name of the city of his God was what? Jerusalem. And Jerusalem is the nature of pointing with the finger, pouring forth. It's the nature of teaching, peace. Jerusalem and Salem, if you break the words down, that's what it goes down into. He's going to bring forth an abundant change in character and nature, and it's going to teach people how to be at peace.
It was odd when you said something about everybody's coming out.
Yeah.
And I thought to myself, the thought came to me, our trials and our tribulations are outing us.
Mm-hmm.
We're being outed as the sons of God. Once all the Adam gets out of us, the only thing left to come out of us is the Son of God. And remember how Eddie used to say, if you stomp on me, nothing will come out but sweetness.
Well, sweet, yeah. Yep. Get us there, Lord.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. The next verse says, whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. And that reminded me of Luke chapter 21. Verses 32 and 33. Okay, I'm going to go back to 29. It kind of talks about what Oscar and all you guys have been talking about all morning, about what's coming. He spoke to them in a parable. Behold, the fig tree and all the trees, when they now shoot forth, ye see and know your own selves that summer, or that the time is nigh at hand. So likewise, when ye see these things come to pass, know ye that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass away till all be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. The word of God is... will never pass away until every single thing has been fulfilled that he said. Luke chapter 21, right around 29 to 33. And then the next, is there anybody want to keep on that verse as well? The next verse says, my flesh and my heart faileth. Well, my flesh does fail. My heart is kind of like part of the soulish, my will and my, it faileth. But God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. And I really wanted to get to this part because it reminded me of exactly what Jim prayed this morning. And now I'm there and I can't even remember what it was he prayed. But it had to do with 1 John. Oh, I know, something about the commandments. 1 John 3, verse 18 to the end. You know how... there's just so much good in these things. You know, you find the one verse that relates to what you're talking about, but there's so much good, and this is about my flesh and my heart faileth. First John chapter 3 verse 20 says, for if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Isn't that just what we were talking about? We believe the lie, even if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and he knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. And whatsoever we ask, I like this. I really like this. I don't think I've ever seen this before. We receive of him because we keep our commandments. See, and this is in the New Testament. And I thought, you know, the commandments, I've already broken them all. I guess I'm out of luck. Whatsoever we ask, we receive of him because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. But then it goes on and it says, and this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his son, Jesus Christ. That's the, you know, and love one another as he gave us commandment. He that keepeth these commandments dwelleth in him and he in him. And hereby we know that he abides in us by the Spirit which he has given us. I love that. Mm-hmm. You know, the commandments that God has given us is that we believe on his Son. Mm-hmm. That's good stuff. That's the only commandment we can keep, isn't it? Just about.
Can I read that two verses and the Amplified?
Sure.
So that we receive from him whatever we ask, because we watchfully obey his orders, observe his suggestions and injunctions, follow his plan for us, and habitually practice what is pleasing to him. And this is his order, his commandments, his injunction, that we should believe him. Put our faith and trust in and adhere to and rely on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ the Messiah, and that we should love one another just as he has commanded us.
That's good.
Amen.
Anybody else?
I read something this week that really kind of came alive, and it's in the first chapter of Ephesians, and I think it's kind of talking about what the theme that we've been talking about. It says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us. Okay, past tense word.
Mm-hmm.
Who has blessed us. It's already been done. Doesn't say blesses us. You know, when you read the rest of it, you kind of, it just blows your mind. Who has already blessed us, you could say, with every spiritual blessing. It's past tense. It's not today. It's not, so many Christians have, what's happening? Okay, who's the anti, all this stuff, And it's like, wait. It's okay to look in the past when you're looking at this kind of past,
mm-hmm.
because this kind of past says that you have been blessed, already done before you even born, you have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. Why did he... Back to your poem. Why do we struggle? Why do we fret? It's an exercise in futility. It's a waste of time to get upset or to get frustrated or whatever when he has already blessed us. It's already been done before you even breathe your first breath. There's no more for him to do. He's done it all. Now we just have to accept it and receive it and just go out and share it with others,
Forget not all his benefits.
Pardon?
Forget not all his benefits.
Yeah.
We need to remember what he's done for us. And that's what he's doing, is he's remembering
our head.
He's reading.
God ain't going to do anything for us. He's already done it.
Done. He's done. It is finished.
It is so good. The principle of submission is if we could learn it, if we could just learn it, acceptance and submission, it would truly become liberty to us.
Amen.
Amen. Rich, want to close in prayer?
Precious Lord, we thank you for these words of life. They are truly spirit and life. And Father, we just pray, Lord, that the words spoken here today by your mouth, Lord, would just take root, Lord, and that, Father, that we would continue to water it and fertilize it and let it grow, just like that little mustard seed, grow into something huge for your glory. And, Father, thank you for this opportunity to get together, and, Lord, just... Lord, we pray for the service coming up. Father, that we would lift up the high praises to you, for you are worthy, Lord, to receive